Tim Walz. Let's talk about Tim Walz. The reason that I'm having this conversation is not only because this is the Millionaire Morning Show. Give me a second. The reason that I'm having this conversation is not only because this is the Millionaire Morning Show, and thank you to everybody that supports the platform, because we always want to know where it comes back to the money, but I like to mine out these conversations in its entirety, meaning that I don't just want to know what proposed policy is. I think that your ability to be a great leader should also be reflected in your ability to manage your own life, right? I'm not a fan a lot of times of these people that call themselves community leaders or just public servants. I know that we have public servant positions, but I see people all the time mismanage their cities, their finances. They don't know how to negotiate, recruit businesses. They don't really understand the business community and the business of running a city, let alone the United States of America. And so I had been hearing conversations. I want to review, and maybe I'll do that as a live stream tonight. I want to review a live stream or a video that Vivek Ramaswamy and Mark Cuban had, and I don't want to do that today, but I'm going to do it at a different time. I want to review a video that they had as far as a debate that they were having, as far as a conversation on who should be president of the United States, why, so on and so forth. I think Vivek is absolutely one of the greatest minds and thinkers when it comes to us seeing a recent politician, but he also has some things to say about Tim Walz and him participating in the private sector, which then spurred me down a rabbit hole of comparing and contrasting J.D. Vance versus Tim Walz as far as their levels of success. Now, Tim Walz is incredibly successful. They're saying that he has a net worth over $8 million. Obviously, his wife is contributing to that because she was incredibly smart and he married an Indian woman. And then also, you know, he had book sales. He went to Yale. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. He has a military record in which he served. And he's been incredibly successful. Conversely, on the other side, you have a Tim Walz, right? And Tim Walz is largely believed to have a net worth that is roughly under $1 million, which is really weird considering that they're a politician. And we know that most politicians, once they get to a certain level, they get rich, right? So I'm not criticizing as of yet what his net worth is, because I don't think that that is a factor until we really understand where he stands from a policy perspective. However, I think it is worth having a conversation because we need to look at all facets of our candidates to know how they would manage, whether or not they got their best interests at heart, whether or not they're going to pay attention to what's going on with inflation, stock market, market manipulation, businesses. Are they going to be a business-friendly president that then ultimately create more jobs? Do they understand how to work with the business community? Or will they be more of a socialist type of president slash vice president that don't know how to manage it and is ultimately just trying to tax their way to wealth and tax their citizens in order to satisfy a demographic that's not actually working on the behalf of the American people? So let's deep dive into it. The first video that I want to get into it is Kamala's economic policies, Tim Walz, and then whether or not it's actually going to make sense for the United States of America. Make sure y'all hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. Let's get it.
Well, let's bring in former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek, I was thrilled to talk with you today because I heard Kamala Harris say to a reporter over the weekend, my economic policy is coming out this week. What do you anticipate it'll look like?
So first of all, let me just say this. Kamala Harris saying that her economic policy is going to come out this week. I'm very much interested in seeing what that looks like because we know she stole the whole tips, no taxes on tips things, but let's continue.
Look, I anticipate it's going to look like something completely the opposite of what her record actually is. We don't need to wait for it, though, Kaylee. We already know what her economic policies are. She favors a tax on unrealized capital gains. That is a formula for a stock market crash and a second Great Depression. And just for people at home to know what that means if you're a farmer and you own a farm or you own a small business, in many cases, you will have to pay taxes that you do not have the cash to pay because it's an unrealized capital gain. That's economic catastrophe. Another economic policy, saying she would get rid of the filibuster to ram through the Green New Deal, which would replace air travel with train travel, which would establish a single-payer healthcare system. She also favored nationalizing healthcare in a bill co-sponsored by Bernie Sanders, something I think Republicans have not gone after her enough for. So, you know, they talk a lot about weird, Kaylee. You know what I think is weird? I think abolishing air travel is weird. I think abolishing private health insurance is weird. And I think that a lot of these positions, the Green New Deal to abolishing the coal industry, are downright weird, not because it's an attack on other Americans, but because those are policies that hurt all Americans. So that's where I come out. And I do think we have not actually gone after her heavily enough on her policy record. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we're going to win this.
Vivek, I saw a stunning graph in the New York Times today. And it is the fact that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, between the two of them, look at their private sector experience. You see private sector experience there in red. You see Trump. You see J.D. Vance. They have a ton of it. Zero is the private sector experience by Kamala Harris and Tim Walz.
I personally am incredibly skeptical of everybody, anybody that does not have all of the experience to be able to see it from every viewpoint. And when you talk about representation, are we also talking about representation if we want to talk about identity politics, if we want to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion? Are we also talking about representation as far as you as an American and understanding how private sector works? Because if you have zero private sector experience, look, listen, the blue is college, or the light greenish blue is college. The green is public, meaning that you as taxpayers are the ones that's been paying their salaries. And the red is private sector experience, meaning that you had to go out, get a regular job, figure out how to make it work like everybody else, work your way up the ladder, and truly understand what Americans are really experiencing and dealing with, right? And so J.D. Vance, as a person that obviously is not as old as Donald Trump, has experience in all three. He has military experience, right, which is the yellow. He has, obviously, he went to college. And then you also has private sector experience and obviously public service and government, which is one of the reasons why he's so well-versed and he could speak to so many different things and so many different subjects when he was being interviewed in hostile territory by CNN and ABC and all of these other media organizations. Donald Trump, conversely, college, a lot of private sector experience. I'm not sure what the gray is. I don't know what the gray is. Green is obviously him successfully becoming the president of the United States of America in 2016 through 2020. That was obviously phenomenal. And so he has a lot of private sector experience. And then obviously he went to college and then, you know, obviously some public service, no military. Okay. Kamala Harris down there at the bottom. College, we know that she was listening to Tupac and Snoop Dogg smoking weed in 1986 in order to make sure that she was relating to black people. We also know that she's an AKA. And then the rest of her career is overwhelmingly being paid by taxpayers, whether it was a senator, whether it was being vice president or being a district attorney. They were all elected positions. Tim Walz has military experience, college, and public servant, right? So neither one of the bottom candidates at all has any private sector experience, which in my opinion limits their ability to really be able to speak to a huge segment, which is really the creator of the American economy. Capitalism and creating jobs, small business, is the engine that moves this country. At the end of the day, it is the engine that moves this country. Okay, so take that into consideration. Let's continue to hear what he has to say.
What does that say to you?
It says to me that they're not ready to run the government if they haven't run anything in the private sector either. The reality is their economic policies also reflect it, Kaylee. The fact of the matter is if Kamala Harris does as good of a job with the economy as she did with the southern border when she was in charge of that, then we are heading for a national catastrophe, a second Great Depression. And this isn't just bad for Republicans. This is something that's bad for all Americans, including the so-called communities of color that she claims she wants to serve. This is our path to victory. Is ultimately, do you want more money in your pocket? Do you actually want illegal mass migration into this country or not? End rampant crime and stay out of World War III? You have a choice. It's Donald Trump, even if you don't agree with him on everything. But I think the more we make this about policy, Kaylee, the more likely we are to succeed. And the less we make it about policy, I think the worse it's going to be for us. And so that's my warning to our side. If we
Somebody said, what is a private, what is private sector? Phenomenal question. There are no bad questions over here. We always want to educate people and bring people up to speed so that we'll all be on the same level, right? Basically, you're going to get a regular job. Going to get a regular job. It's not an elected job. It's not a part of the military. It's not a part of college. It's you going out and getting a regular job, whether it's a business that you started, or you go on working for somebody else, whatever it is going to get a normal job and participating in society and generating revenue instead of taking revenue from people that voted for you or taxpayers. So if you go into, let's just say, I don't want to say servant, but if you go into public service, right? That is an elected position. That is a taxpayer funded position that comes out of our pockets. We're paying them in order for them to do whatever it is that they're doing. And they're politicians, basically. However, if you go out and you go and go to college and you go get a job and then you do an internship and you go and get a regular job like everybody else, that's basically understanding and participating in a corporate America. All of that is a private sector. All right. So that is basically what it is. If you just want to sum it up, is going to get a job like a regular American. Most of these people has never had any experience as far as what that feels like. All right. So that is basically what being in the private sector or participating in the private sector is. All right. So let's pivot for a moment and let's go into another video that they questioned this on Fox Business and a conversation with both older and younger people on Fox Business was, how financially literate is Tim Walz since he owns no stocks, no bonds, and zero real estate? No stocks, no bonds, zero real estate. This is what they're saying. I don't know how true it is, but all I can do is go by it based off of the reports, and we can deep dive into it, all right? So let me go over into that part of the video and see if we can mine that out.
Like, this is a little bit more expensive.
Mean the home does buy
it. Democrats are mad at me. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz owns nothing. He owns no stocks, bonds, crypto, real estate, index funds, mutual funds, private equities, real estate account, and he sold his house when he became governor. But he has visited Beijing a lot, including honeymooning in Beijing.
This is a problem for me, personally. This is, honestly, for me, this is a problem for me. How can you truly fix America? How can you really give us any economic policy? How can you speak to what most Americans are dealing with financially if you own no stocks? And this is in his financial disclosures, meaning that he had to submit this, or he submitted this as a result of running for office or participating as a public servant in the positions that he's had. So in his financial disclosures, and that doesn't, obviously, it discloses his military pension or whatever it is that he gets from the federal government as a result of being the governor of the United States of America and all of that stuff, right? So remove that, because that is completely separate from his own contributions, meaning that your 401k, stocks, bonds, index funds, any home, owning a home, he sold his house, so he has no home, they're renting a home. No real estate, private equity, and no individual retirement accounts. And I guarantee you that if he was to become the vice president of the United States of America, by the time that it's all over with, he's going to be rich, rich. That's one thing we know for sure, and two things is for certain, is he's going to be rich, rich. For me, this is a problem, because I look at everything from a business perspective. Y'all know I came into this game and I was saying even marriage is a business first. Marriage is a business first. Marriage is a business. Love should be a part of it, but marriage is a business first. He owns no stocks. And this is according to his financial disclosures from the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. Zero stocks, zero bonds, zero index funds, zero real estate, no private equities, and no retirement accounts. But they're going to be disclosing their economic policy this week, allegedly.
Do I? Here's the question. Do I trust, or do we trust someone who doesn't seem to trust the notion of investing or ownership?
No. My thought is, if you look at the United States economy as a business, the CEO of that business is the president. I want someone with business experience. It doesn't have to be Donald Trump. Anyone, right, with business experience, or appoint the right.
Somebody said this is a good thing. He's not corrupted, the opposite of Nancy Pelosi. So you being financially illiterate means that you're not corrupted? So you getting money and having money or investing in your bonds, real estate, stocks, crypto, that makes you corrupted because you're securing the future of you and your family and you're not becoming interdependent on the government in order for you to survive. I'm not saying that it's not cool for you to have a pension and stuff. Yeah, you served in the military and all of that. I'm not criticizing that whatsoever. Did you contribute into your TSP at least? How is it being corrupted just because you get money? Just because you get money don't mean that you corrupted. How you got the money then determines whether or not you're corrupted or not. Because the one thing that we know is for sure is two things is for certain is that money don't make you a better person to make you more what you already are. But being financially illiterate could absolutely be a horrible thing, especially when you're trying to lead the United States of America. Stop it, bro.
People with business experience, because if this is like a country, a company, you right. have to balance your budgets. You have right. to balance the income statement and the balance sheet, right? Income and revenue, all of that. So I want to make business fun again. I know you try to do that on your program. Let's have people come into here that right. are smart.
There was a big push to own nothing from the left going into the pandemic. The pandemic blew them up because people say, you know what? I don't want to live in a building with 48,000 people touching the buttons. I do want to own my own house. I do want to own my own car. I do want to learn how to preserve food, right? Mm-hmm. This was already a movement in this country that we should not want to own anything, have a sharing society.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Walz is the same person who said, you know, someone's socialism is another person's neighborliness. He endorses this idea of this collectivism where nobody has individual ownership. And I think what's indicative of him not owning stocks is he's financially illiterate. And when Minnesota got money from the COVID relief program, what did the governor spend it on? Murals, movie theaters, parking for state employees. I bet if you asked a Minnesotan if they wanted extra money in their pocket, even if it's $2, they would have said yes. Right. And so it goes to your point. He doesn't know what to do with money.
And the best place to ask them is on the exit out the state, because yeah. everyone's left that state. Every income bracket below $25,000 has left the state, mm-hmm. net. Got to talk about this.
So for me, honestly, for me personally, that's a problem because I don't think that he can speak my language. If me and Tim Walz is having a conversation, and y'all need to look at it from this lens. If me and Tim Walz, or you and Tim Walz, and you as an American is having a conversation, and you have to ask him a question, which is one of the reasons why J.D. Vance and Trump is taking a litany of questions and going into hostile territory on a regular basis. However, you don't see Kamala Harris or Tim Walz in any capacity taking questions from the general public or from a reporter. If the question then becomes, hey, listen, how do you think that the markets is going to react to, if you win, react to you becoming a vice president and a president of the United States of America? What could he tell us? If you ask him, hey, listen, how do we solve for inflation inside of this country? Because the average American is suffering under the thumb of the economic policies that happen under the Biden-Harris administration. What could he tell us? He has no skin in the game. He has no skin in the game. How does he even know? Does he even know how the stock market works? Is he familiar with what's happening with the S&P 500? The most important, the top companies that's happening, that's inside of the stock market, that's publicly traded on the market itself. Is he familiar with mutual funds? Does he know what's happening with Bitcoin? What about our move over into a cashless society? How will businesses survive? What kind of funding do we need to give or do we need to incentivize as far as our farmers? I mean, honestly, like seriously, one of the biggest things that you have to do is learn how to manage a budget, let alone the budget of the United States of America. How are you going to negotiate back and forth with Congress as far as passing the right type of budget and funding the right type of places? Or are we going to give it all over to social services? Are we going to have higher taxes or lower taxes? The economic state of this country and you and your family is absolutely a huge issue. And so for y'all to act like that's not something that we need to pay attention to, are we only going to talk about abortion? Is that the only thing that we're going to debate? Or are we going to talk about the economic policies, the border crisis, international issues? I don't know. I guess it's just me. Maybe I'm only concerned about the finances because –